Thank you, Jesus. Again, I'm scared and nervous. Today I'm gonna read from Luke 19, 41 to 46. And when he drew near to and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up barricades around you and surround you, let's go to 44, and tear you down to the ground, because you didn't know, you didn't recognize your time of visitation." I know it's gonna be fight, it's gonna be battle, but I'm gonna win in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is here, and we are weak. I'm weak, but we rely on your Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. You are welcome in our midst. You are welcome in us. Lord, we pray that you surround us with a song. You surround us with your glory. You surround us with your presence, your sweet presence, Lord. I pray, Lord, for each one of us to open our hearts to receive what you want to say to us. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. I think the kids are already gone, or only we have one. Okay. Can you lower it a little bit? Today, I really feel that. Thank you. There is a message that God put in my heart from last week, maybe, or 2 weeks. I can't remember. And it's here. And I'm praying that God will give me the ability to bring it from here to here and to reach each one of us. And the time of visitation, the title is Time of Visitation. Jesus, when I speak, it's easier than when I read. So forgive me that I'm not reading a lot from the notes I'm writing. Time of visitation. Jesus here coming to Jerusalem, and he saw the city, and he started to weep, and he's saying, if you just know your day is the period of time from sunrise until sunset, okay? This is the day. And he's saying that there is a time that the sun shines and the sun goes down. If you just know your day, but it's hidden from your eyes. It's hidden from your eyes. Why? Because of sin. Because of you're far from the Lord. And there will be a time that you will be surrounded and you will be teared down. This is the time that Pastor Al talked about from Daniel 9, the prophecy that came from Daniel chapter 9 about the dissolution of Jerusalem. And that will be teared down and it will be like destroyed. And Jesus was like, I can't believe my eyes. This beautiful city, the city of peace, will be destroyed. And he cried. He wept. He wept because they didn't know what the time of their visitation. They didn't know the time of visitation. When I say the phrase time of visitation, I feel excited. I feel like the Lord has in His heart time of visitation. But unfortunately, sometimes it's hidden from our eyes to see this time of visitation. Jesus came to the city and He found the temple is in a very bad shape. But before that, I'm gonna encourage you to read from John 2. John 2, it was also Jesus visited the temple after the miracle of Cana of Galilee, when He turned the water into wine. After, He stayed a little bit, and then He went to Jerusalem, and He went into the temple in John 2. And He went to the temple, and He said He saw all this corruption happening in the temple again. Well, this is the beginning of His ministry. Before, when He started His ministry, the first miracle he did turn the water into wine, right? After the miracle, immediately He went to the temple, and He found all the corruption happening in the temple, or people selling pigeons and, you know, sheep and stuff, and cheating, not only selling, it's cheating, and changing money. And He said that. He said that my Father's house is a house of worship. Do not, pay attention to this, do not turn it into marketplace. Do not turn it into marketplace. This is in the beginning of His ministry. Before He starts ministry here, He just said, he visited the temple and said, do not turn this place of worship into marketplace. What's market? What is market? Market is the place that you go and trade something for something that you want. You have money and you need item. You go and pay the money and you take the item, right? Here, they turned the house of worship into a marketplace that you go and trade things. Yeah? And I talked to Pastor Al about this, and I was like, I feel sometimes you go to churches, it's a market. You pay us money. Pay $1,000 now. Pay $1,000. You receive a miracle now. You receive a healing now for $1,000. What's that? What is that? It's market. It's a marketplace. Pay the tithe and you will receive entertainment. We will make you laugh. We will make you entertained. It's a house of worship. It should be pure worship. It should be coming with a living sacrifice. Me, living sacrifice. Not marketplace. Not trade. Freely you've received. Freely you give. If you come to this place, and I have the boldness to say it because I know Pastor Al agrees. If you see to come to this place and you notice any type of market, please don't come back. Because we don't want it marketplace. We want it place of worship, pure worship. And the thing is, to make it pure worship is that we worship. That's it. We come with our living sacrifice. We offer ourselves. In the beginning of His ministry, said, do not turn my Father's house into marketplace. When He come to Jerusalem again, now He's coming to be crucified. The last thing in his ministry. He came to Jerusalem. He started to weep because the city is living in sin, in poverty, in brokenness. And he weeps. And he come to the temple again. And he see the same thing happen. Selling virgins and sheep and trading money and exchanging money. And he says, my house is the house of worship. And you made it into den of thieves. In the beginning of his ministry, he said, do not turn my father's house into marketplace. Marketplace is, you know, it's not that bad. But here, he's saying, I just told you not to turn it into marketplace. You turned it into a den of thieves. Now stealing money, stealing lives. Stealing people's life. And I feel like, as a church, not this church, as a church, sometimes it turned into den of thieves. You can fire me after this. No, I'm just kidding. May God protect us from this. Amen. Time of visitation. There is a time of visitation. Time of visitation. Time of visitation. Hallelujah. This is a time that God wants to have for each one of us, for us as a church, for each one of us individually. God of time of visitation. Okay. When God, or when the word of God speaks about time. I hope my computer works. There's two words used in the New Testament to describe time. Okay? The first word is chronos. Say chronos. Chronos. Kronos or chronos? Chronos. Which is the normal time that each one of us experience, everyone in the world experience, which is like, how old are you? Not you. How old are you? You don't ask women. How old are you? And even the pastor doesn't want to say. How old are you? 47 years old. This is the time. This is Kronos time. This is like, it's weeks, years, hours. This is Kronos. Everyone lives that, you know. We live 70 or 80 years with power, 80 years. So this is Kronos time. But there is another word that is used for time in the New Testament, which is Kairos. Say Kairos. Say Kairos. How about saying to the person next to you, Kairos? The other side, Kairos. The one behind you, Kairos. Don't say it again, Kairos. I said, don't say it again, Kairos. You said it, rebellions. No, I'm just kidding. Kairos, every time the Bible or the Holy Spirit used this word, I believe that the Holy Spirit engineered it like this. Put it like this. Put it, when he used Kairos, he used it for time that have occasion, event, intervention, something is happening, event, big occasion happening. Something happened. God is doing something, so he uses time, Kairos, Kairos time. So when Jesus says, if you just know your time of visitation, time here is the Kairos kind of time, which is God wants to do something. Kairos is the word that's used also, kara. Kara is head in Greek. Kara, head, which is It speaks about time coming ahead. Time is coming. There is a time coming. I will visit you. Amen? A time of visitation. It's coming. Time is coming to visit you. When tell him I'm busy. When Jacob prayed and wrestled with the angel, he was Jacob. And when he wrestled with God, God told him what? Your name is not Jacob anymore. Your name should be what? Israel. From someone cheating to someone that he's a prince of God. This is a time, Kairos time, for Jacob, that he changed his life. This is the time of visitation for Jacob, that he changed his life 100%. Right? This is Kairos moment. In 2 Chronicles, right? David was chased by Saul and, you know, and he was running, but some people started to join him. In 1 Chronicles 12:32. People started to join him. From this tribe, 6,800. From this tribe, 7,100. From this tribe, so and so. From the east of Jordan, 120,000 people came from the tribe of Reuben and Gad and half Manasseh. So all those people joined. So he gives the number of every tribe, how many people joined David. And he gave a number for the Issachar. The tribe of Issachar, only 200 people came from the tribe of Issachar. But the Bible says something unique about those people. 200 chiefs of Issachar, that they have something unique. You don't find it in Israel, in whole Israel. The men came from Issachar, they understood the times and know what Israel should do. They understand the times here, the Kairos. Well, in the Old Testament for sure used another word, but the same kind of time is the time that God wants to interfere in his people's life. So Issachar, the sons of Issachar, the 200 people, they understand the timing. They see the sign. They read the signs. And they say, because of these signs, we should do this. So only few people. Other tribes, thousands and thousands of people came. But Issachar came only 200, but they are very key people because they understand the times. Time of visitation. I believe there is time of visitation for each one of us. Each one of us. The only thing is that you can see it or not, because like Jerusalem, it was hidden from there. But Issachar, they understand. They see. They see. Can you pray and say, Lord, make me see? Amen. Lord, open my eyes to see the timing, your Kairos moments for me. Those moments changes our lives. And I believe that there is also Kairos moments, time of visitation for churches. Even if they are broken, even if they are wicked, but there is time of visitation. Time that God will turn everything to be for His glory. Say amen. Time of visitation. Why Israel needs time of visitation? Why Israel needs time of visitation? We heard from Pastor Al last week that they were living in exile, and the Jerusalem is like broken, totally broken city. No power. The people that doesn't have any power to do anything. They are under control of Romans, and they have nothing to do. And God, Jesus is saying, there is a time of visitation. The exile. In 2 Kings 24, 1 to 6, there was a king, his name was Jehoiakim. Yes. Which is Jehovah Kum. The Lord arises. The Lord will arise. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. The Lord will arise. But he's living under control of Romans and under sin. His name is wonderful, but the Lord arises up. But is he? No, he's broken. He was surrounded, and he was killed. And he came, after this, in 2 Kings 24, 10 to 17, his son came, which is, again, it's very hard to say it in English, but I will try, Jehoiachin, which is Jehovah Kun, which means the Lord established. But are you established? No. Again, he was surrounded and he was under siege, and then he was taken captive to Babylon. His sons were killed in front of his eyes. They took him there and they took out his eyes. Ouch. His eyes were, he was blind and he was killed. It's miserable. They took everyone to the exile. Okay, I just made a list of the people that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took with him to captivity. He took the king of Judah, which is Assis, Pastor Al said it. I'm not going to try even tempting to say it again. he took the king's mother with him, and his sons killed them in front of his eyes. And very weird, I noticed this, every king that comes and takes people from to the exile, he takes the craftsmen, the smith, the people works with iron. I was like, wow. They take the sons of the king, the rich people, all the people in power, like have power, all the men of valor. They took all those people that they can influence situation back in Jerusalem. They took them the exile. But with those people, they take the craftsmen. They don't leave craftsmen back in Jerusalem. They don't leave the people works with iron in Jerusalem. This is not only the first time. Before that, the Palestinians controlled Israel for 40 years, and they made a decision to eliminate craftsmen from Israel. So everyone in Israel wants to sharpen his axe or his spear or to make a sword, he has to go all the way to Palestinian to make this. Because craftsmen are dangerous. If you leave craftsmen, if you leave people works with iron in Jerusalem, they might rise up and they start make what? Weapons. And they fight back. So the enemy has a strategy not to leave any craftsmen in Jerusalem. So they take the sons of the king, all the man, the rich man, all the man of valor, mighty man of valor, all the craftsmen, all the people of influence, and they leave what? They leave the poorest people in Jerusalem. Oh. They leave the poor people in Jerusalem. Those people, we don't care about them. If we leave them in Jerusalem, they will do nothing. They will do nothing. This is the exile. This is the strategy of the exile in 2 Kings 24, from 1 to 17. They take all the golds from the temple, all the treasures, all the utensils of the temple. They take all this, so they make sure there is no worship in the temple anymore. You cannot worship without utensils. So they made Jerusalem as if it's like empty, desolate. No rich people, no powerful people, no craftsmen, nothing. Only poor people. In Jeremiah 2, I love this. It describes again the exile time. And the Lord showed Jeremiah a vision. And in the vision, there is two baskets of figs. And he asked, what are you seeing? What do you see? He said, I see two baskets of figs. One basket full of good figs, and one basket is full of bad figs, and you cannot even eat it. And he asked, what's this, Lord? Those two baskets of figs, those are the good figs, are the people that I will take to exile. I will send. Actually, the Bible says, I will send to the exile, but I will protect them. I will keep my eye on them. Like who? Give me an example that God protect in the exile. Daniel? Who else? Yeah, Israelites. Who? Joseph, it's a good example. It's not exile, but it was like an individual exile, like a personal exile. Who else? You remember? Esther? Yes? You remember the little girl that told the name Naaman? She believed that there is a prophet back in Jerusalem. She's still there. She's a little girl. We don't know her name, right? The Bible doesn't say, you know, it's just she's a little servant. But she remembered that there is a prophet in Jerusalem. All those people, God said, I will protect them. I will keep my eyes on them to make them safe. And then I will return, I will turn them back. I will bring them back to Jerusalem. And they will be my people and I will be their God. Hallelujah. The other basket is full of bad figs. Those are the people that they will go to exile and they will die there because they are living in sin and they don't want to return their heart to me. They don't want to repent. Those people are gonna die there. Exile. So what Jesus said, there's a time of visitation. I believe that this. People are coming back. This prophecy of Daniel, that they will come back. Those good figs, they will come back and rebuild the city. Spiritually, we're talking now about, we're not talking politically about Jerusalem or Israel, the nation. We're talking about time of visitation for us as a church. We're talking about exile in our own lives. We're talking about losing craftsmen in our lives. We're losing power to fight back in our lives. We're losing being sons of the King of the Most High. We're losing the might man of valor in our lives and the church. And the time of visitation, the Lord is saying, those people, I will protect them and I will bring them back. And I will be their God and they will be my people. My people. Time of visitation. In Exodus 6 and 2. I love this. I love this from all my heart. Let me say it. I'm not going to read it. If I read it, I will. God is speaking to Moses and telling him, I've revealed myself to Abraham. I am the God of Abraham. I revealed myself to Abraham that I am the mighty God. And the Israelites knows me as a mighty God. But I want you to tell them my name now. I am the Lord. They didn't know me by the name the Lord. They know me mighty God, can do things. But they don't know me I am. They don't know me the Lord. And this has to stop. I want them to know me personally. I want, you know, if I'm driving and something happened to me with the car broken and someone comes and help me. And I go back home, you know, the car broken and someone came and helped me. Someone came and helped me. So I'm grateful to this person that he did something good for me, right? But it's much deeper if I go home and say, his name was Daniel, married to Arlene, you know. Daniel came and helped me. So this is what happens here. The Israelites know God as mighty God. The God that Abraham was like, know that he's mighty. But he told Musa, no, that's enough of this level of knowing me. I want them to know me deeper. I want them to know me, I am. I am the Lord. When I started to study this, I had a wow moment. Wow moment. I had wow. Because I am. When God wants to reveal himself as I am to the Israelites, he wanted to tell them that I am the Lord, the fountain of I am. Why? Because they have been in Egypt being what? Slaves. They've been in Egypt slaves, and slaves, they do or they be. They are being. They do, only doing, right? Do this bricks, do the bricks, do the building, do everything about doing. Everything about doing. But now he's saying, I don't want you to follow me doers. I want you to follow me as beings. I want to be your God and you be my people. I am. I am. This is exactly time of visitation. God wants us to be his sons and daughters. Return of the sons and daughters. I'll give you the return of the sons. Yeah? The returns. So I said that the list of the people that the exile, the king took to the exile. I'm going to comment on the return of those people into Jerusalem, to the kingdom of God. Now, to the kingdom of God. The return of the sons of the king. The return of the sons of the king. All those people, all those who accepted him, gave them what? Huh? Give them power, authority to become sons. Awlad Allah. Sons of God. He wants us to be sons and daughters of God. Not to act like ones. What's the difference between acting like sons and being sons? Ask your questions, this question. Acting like a son, I will come to church, worship like others, and give tithe, and that's it. But being sons is totally different. I live every moment of my life as a son of God. Every moment. People seeing me, watching me, I live like a son. Not watching me, I live like a son. My decisions, I make it like a son of God. I'm not afraid to lose this or this because I am a son of God. The things I do, sons of God do, not slaves. This morning, I was thinking about the son that returned, the prodigal son. When he came, he said, I've sinned against you. Make me like one of your servants. I just want to be like a servant. No. You're not a servant. You are a son. And you will always be a son. And this is a time of visitation of each one. But he wants us to be sons and daughter of God. I remember Jonathan. Hallelujah. Jonathan, when he was only like 2 or 2.5, maybe I told this story before. He was eating his breakfast. I was feeding his breakfast. And he said, Baba, today I'm going to eat all my food. I was like, woo, bravo. He used to give me hard time, very hard time. You know how skinny he is. He doesn't eat well. So he always gave me hard time to feed him breakfast or lunch or whatever. So this day he said, suddenly I'm feeding him. And he said, today I'm going to finish all my food. I said, bravo, Jono. Finish your food. Why? Why do you finish your food today? He said, because I want to grow. Because if I am not growing, I will die. I was like, wow, this is wisdom. Thank you. Really, it's like 2 years old. He said, if I'm not growing, I will die. We need to hear this, right? Anyway. I was like, that's right, Jonah. I agree with you. If you're not growing, you're going to die. Why do you want to grow, Jonah? He thought about it, and he meditated. And he looked at the door, and he said, because I want to grow like you and open the door. I was like, what? Jono, this is all your dream? To open the door? He likes outdoor. He likes outdoor. And we put him in the room. And he wants to open the door and go out. But he can't. He's short. He's very short at that time. Now he's like. Anyway, so his dream, at that time, he wants to grow, to become like Baba, to be able to open the door. I was like, when he said it, the Holy Spirit, boom! I was like, wow! Wow! Opening a door for a child is a mighty man of valor, Baba. Only man of valor like Baba, open it. You know? He's like, wow, Baba opens the door even without praying and without, in the name of Jesus, open. No. He just go to the door and open it. And it's open. It's like, like Baba. And the sons, the real sons, wants to grow to become like Baba. And you know what? You will be able to open doors. Open doors. Because you're a son. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. Time of visitation. The return of the sons. The return of the sons. The return of the daughters of God. The mighty daughters of God. The mighty sons of God. The church, the Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He had a design. God had a design for Jerusalem to be like cities without walls and to be inhabited by people, by multitude of people and animals, to be a rich city. But they are under brokenness. But you know, he said, there's a time of visitation to return the sons. And the first son will return to Jerusalem. Who? Himself. Hallelujah. Jesus comes as a son of God to say, I am the son of God. I want you be sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got this? You got this? He's the fountain of I am. He's the fountain of being son. He wants us to be sons and daughters. Time of visitation. I pray in the name of Jesus that the church will be filled with sons and daughters of God. The return of the son, the good figs. The good figs. The good figs that eatable. Hallelujah. Good taste, good looking. Good taste, good looking. Amen. The return of the sons. The return of the craftsmen. The return of the one, return of the sons. Second, return of the craftsmen. The return of change makers. When you go to the craftsman, the man that works with iron, your axe cannot cut. And you go there. He sharpened the axe and make a difference in it. I pray for the return of the change maker. This axe changed because it was in the hand of the craftsman. Jesus came as, what was his career? What was his job? Carpenter works with his hand, right? You remember that? He's a craftsman, right? He shaped things. He changed things. And I pray that the church will be filled in the name of Jesus with a craftsman, people that change the community, change nations. The only thing Jesus said, go and make what? Disciples. Go be a craftsman and make disciples of Norwalk. No. Go make disciples of all nations. Be witness in Judah, Samaria, Jerusalem, and until the end of the earth, to be craftsmen, to be change makers, to be history makers. Say amen. No, say it if it's like you want to be craftsmen, you want to be change makers. Say amen. Amen. The return, time of visitation, the return of the sons, the return of the craftsmen, the return of mighty men of valor, the return of people have power to fight back to defeat the enemy. Say amen. Amen. How many of us, I will lift up my hand, the first one, how many of us have been defeated by sin or whatever? Yeah? This is a time to fight back. This is a time to grow up. This is a time to grow up and to be mighty man of valor. And he provided for you the weapon. He provided for you the weapon that will protect you, and He provided for you the sword that will, you will attack the kingdom of darkness. You will attack the kingdom. It's not like a passive power. No, it's aggressive power. That you will go to the gates of hell, and it will not prevail. Hallelujah. Because you are, I am mighty man of valor. Because the power is not my power, the power is His power. Change makers, sons, and mighty men of valor. This is a time of visitation. Do you believe so? Do you believe God wants to do that? Do you believe that God wants to fill the church with sons and daughters of God? Do you believe that He wants to fill the church with a craftsman? Do you believe that Jesus is coming to become our God and we become His people? If you have sin, be a good fig and return to God. Repent now and become sons and daughters of the Most High. If you're weak, know you're right. Know you're right that you are mighty man of valor. Mighty woman of valor. Let's stand and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, open our eyes to see. Lord, we don't want the time of visitation, my time of visitation, to be hidden from my eyes. There is a time of visitation, I believe, and I believe there is a time of visitation. Let me see it, Lord. Let me grasp the opportunity. Let me grasp the intervention that You want to make in my life. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I don't want to be slave again. I don't want to be in exile again. I don't want that. I want to return to Your presence. I want to return to Your home. Baba, I pray, Lord, for the spirit of adoption of sons and daughters now. Spirit of adoption that makes us sons and daughters, works in us now in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to kick out any marketplace in my life, any den of thief in my life, any theft in my life, any unfaithfulness in my life. If you're not faithful to your wife, if you're not faithful to your husband, repent now. If you're not faithful to the husband of your life, Jesus, repent now. Because He wants to turn you into a son and daughter, mighty men of valor, craftsmen, change makers. Lord, make us this. Let us be, Lord. Let us be this. Hallelujah. If you are in trouble, I hear Jesus saying, I am Him. Do not be troubled. I am. And He wants to make you peaceful. Being peaceful. You're not slave to trouble anymore. You're not slave to fear anymore. You're not slave to other kings or other gods anymore. You are child of God. You are child. I am child of God. Let's sing this song. I'm no longer slave to fear.